But at 6:15, without much further delay, we normally talk to him on a recorded basis, but when I'm sitting here doing the show, we talk to him live. He is the second-term congressman from Zeeland. Republican Bill Heising of Zeeland is on the other end of our line. Bill, good morning and welcome aboard.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
It is a busy morning for you and other lawmakers in Washington trying to get things done before the end of this first half of the session at the end of the year. But again, the topic du jour is what we discussed last week and maybe discussing for the next couple of weeks, the Affordable Care Act and healthcare.gov. More problems, and Kathleen Sebelius was saying almost, I'm sorry, every other word to lawmakers in front of Fred Upton's committee yesterday.
Yeah, she was. And Gary, I'm afraid that we're going to be talking about this for a long time, and here's why. It's not doing what they said, and I don't mean the website. The website's bad enough. The website is an indication, and you heard me use the worn-out phrase over and over and over again, not ready for prime time. They know that. They had decided to move ahead, specifically Secretary Sebelius had decided to move ahead. She was corrected when she said she had no other choice but to roll it out on October 1. That's not true. The law read that as soon as she felt it was comfortable and ready to go, they had contractors that knew that the last-minute changes weren't going to allow it to roll out smoothly. But the real problem is what the effect is. What the effect is on individuals and on families and on people that are now finally finding out that they couldn't keep it if they liked it, that there's a number of those things that instead of saving them money is going to cost them money, and that is really what we're going to be talking about.
Now, the president, in remarks made in Massachusetts yesterday, responding to Republican complaints that hundreds of thousands of people are receiving cancellation notices from the health insurance companies, Mr. Obama said that substandard plans are being replaced by better policies with broader coverage.
That's the claim now, all right? Now, we all saw the video, though, of him saying, if you like it, you can keep it. Well, there's a lot of people that like what they had, and it's substandard based on their standards, not based on what their particular needs are, you know. And I mean, we've seen this even on the local television stations. TV8 had a story. WZZM, you know, you just yesterday, a 26-year-old who had his insurance, he's putting himself through school, feeling good about where he was at in life, and he said, quote, it was affordable for me at this stage of my life. And that is really the problem here, is that they believe, and this administration believes, that they know better how to run your life than you do. And the notion that the federal government's going to come in and say, no, we didn't really mean it if it was substandard to our standards, that's just ridiculous.
Talking with Zeeland Congressman Bill Heising, one more thing about the Affordable Care Act. It was interesting that the president, in his remarks in Massachusetts, pointed out the Mitt Romney health care plan as an example of it going to work. And yet, let's just say that was somewhat of a controversial thing when Mr. Romney ran against Mr. Obama last year.
It was extremely controversial, and there's a big difference, and this was a difference that I pointed out, and I had some disagreements about what Governor Romney at the time had done. The difference was is that it was a state coming in and doing this versus the federal government, and that's why it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And again, the only reason why this even was upheld in the court was that it was ruled a tax, which the administration, including the president, had argued it wasn't. So that was the whole basis of this thing. This is the first time that we have ever had the federal government come in and force people to do something to this scale. And again, it's the wrong direction for us to go as a country. So that's why we're not done. We're not done fixing this. We're not done trying to delay this. It's interesting. You know what I was talking about during the shutdown. Hey, let's delay this for a year. Guess what? We now have Senate Democrats who voted against doing that just a couple of weeks ago are now advocating that exact position.
Now, on our recorded interview last week, which people can listen to on our website at WHTC.com, we had to mention the fact that there were some other things that we would have loved to have been able to talk about, but the healthcare situation sort of overshadowed it. So let's get to that in the next 4 minutes or so of our conversation. Bill, first of all, the harbor dredging situation and the harbor maintenance situation looks as if that has cleared a major hurdle.
It has, and frankly, having three votes against it, it was two Democrats and one Republican, or the other way around, two Republicans, one Democrat. I mean, it was literally individual issues that people had with the bill, and what it is a step, a big step in our transportation funding as we go in and try to correct the usage of the Harbor Maintenance Trust Funds, for example, which is very important to myself and Candace Miller and Dan Beneshek. The three of us have been working on that particular issue. But it's making sure that we've got harbors that are accessible, not just on the Gulf Coast and not just on the East and West Coast. For the first time, there's a pledge that there's going to be these monies used for small recreational harbors of refuge, they are sometimes called, and that fits in with the Great Lakes. Now, I want to continue that move, though, to make sure that we've got those dollars flowing into the Great Lakes at a higher rate, at a rate, frankly, that we put into it, or I should say that the Great Lakes shippers put into it. But that is a very, very positive step. It does have to go through the Senate, of course, but seeing such a big bipartisan bill come out, that helps the standing.
Farm bill, the committees from the Senate and the House trying to get something together, two different versions. The Senate Agricultural Committee Chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow from Lansing, was trying to trumpet her quote-unquote bipartisan bill. The House Republicans have a different version. Do you see some sort of compromise possibly there, or are we still going to have a stalemate with that?
No, I know that there has been movement on it. Frank Lucas, who's the chairman in the House, he and I serve on the Financial Services Committee as well, and I do believe that we are going to find a path here. It is about making sure that we've got a more efficient delivery of not only the farm side of the farm bill, and we've talked about this before. It's 80% of it is actually food and nutrition. That is the supplemental SNAP, supplemental nutrition program is a massive part of it. Food stamps are a massive part of that, and that's really where we're needing to make sure we have reform on top of the reform that's been done on the agricultural side, and that means shifting away from direct payments to farmers to having crop insurance and those kinds of things. And farmers want it. That makes a lot more sense. But where the real sticking point is actually more on the social side, that food and nutrition side.
Zealand Congressman Bill Heisinger, we appreciate your thoughts on some of the issues of the day. The situation involving the Affordable Care Act continues to be front and center in Washington. We'll chat next Thursday morning about some of those issues as well when we have our another conversation. And Bill, thanks for your time. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Gary. Thanks.
Bill Heisinger, the congressman from Zealand, here on 1450 WHTC. Our conversation was live today.